We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, welcome to Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Hat Hour today. They are the sponsor of the hat that I'm wearing today. Thank you very much, Taylor. Dr. Mouse, excuse me. 86 degrees, it's hot out there. 87 degrees is the heat index. Humidity is 46%, dew point 63. The winds are out straight out of the south at 24 miles an hour with gusts up there every now and then to 30 miles an hour. We got a lot going on. If you missed any of Spencer Smith's planter tip of the week, please join in here in this next segment. He's coming in and he's going to recap. This will be his last deal with planters today. He's going to recap the tips from the last 6 weeks, because I know there's some gentlemen and ladies out there got planters hooked up, putting some peanuts in the ground. Cotton won't be that far away. So anyway, you don't want to miss his planter tip of the week. Pretty good stuff that he had. And I have a lot of fun with Spencer in here too. Well, let's check out some of the grain markets right now. Some of the cash grain markets. Looks like, wheat is, man, it's like a yo-yo on the grain market. One report says Ukraine this, India does this, and man, the market's just fluctuating. Right now, hard red winter wheat cash grain prices in Oklahoma, $13.08 a bushel. Corn, $8.33 a bushel. Milo is $7.91. Soybeans is at $16. And what else is there? Oh, canola is at $13.88. Well, let's go see what's caused. Oh, let's go back to this real quick. Let's check out some stuff going on with the cattle. Live cattle right now, June 133.35, August 133.75, October 139.55, December 145.40, feeder cattle, May 157.22, August 166.80, lean hogs for June is 104.90, lean hogs for July is 107.30, and August is 107.12. Starting today, new daily limits go into effect for the live and feeder cattle contracts. Last week, live cattle for June lost 68 cents. August lost $3. Last week also, feeder cattle for May lost $1.68 and August lost $6.67. Well, I'm going to skip the excuses for the grain market going up and down, and I'm going to go straight to Mr. Brandon Hickey. Sent me his reports in this morning. There's Spencer. Let's go with Elk City Livestock Auction last week, if it'll come up. Won't it come up? Anyway, there it is. All right. They had 928 head in the yard. Looks like on the steer side, three weights were bringing up to $1.97. Four weights was bringing up to $1.97, anywhere from $1.77 to $1.97. Five weights up to $1.67, and then had some six weights in there at $1.48.50, and some seven weights at $1.51. And then on the heifer side, they had some 345 pounders were bringing up to $1.70. 443s up to 400 weights were bringing up to $1.76. Five weights up to $1.56, and some seven weights up to $1.38. Looks like butcher cows were up to bringing anywhere up to $92, which that's a good price. Butcher bulls up to $1.11. Bred cows up to $13.60. And pears were up to $17.50, and that was at Elk City. Let's see what happened at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Yesterday they had 1,653 head. 450 steer weights were up to $1.90. Had some five weights were up to almost $1.88. Six weights, $1.50. They were cutter bulls. And seven weights were bringing up to $1.51. Eight weights up to $1.50. And on the heifer side, some five weights had some ones in the 3 to 4 range bringing $1.65. Big bunch out of Carnegie brought 535 weights, brought $1.58, and they had some. Basically, the heifers, no matter what the weight, was anywhere from $1.30 to $1.65. They did have some butcher cows at Clinton yesterday, bringing $8.87 up. That was a high end. Butcher bulls up to $1.11, and they had some pairs bringing $16.35. So that was up in Elk City. That was in Clinton yesterday at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Lots going on in the agriculture world right now, and I just can't cover it all. There's not enough time in the day to cover all what's going on in there. We got so much going on. Fuel still skyrocketing. Just a lot of uncertainties out there right now. But one thing for certain is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is open. And Dr. Taylor Mouse is serving, her and the clinic serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main right here in Elk City. 1019 South Main Street in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt gate on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccination, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200. 0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care and shows. Spencer, you want to hear my Dr. Taylor Mouse story of the day?
I'm ready.
Well, yesterday I went down to Carter. My landlord on the farm ground down there wanted me to haul some heifers in to get them all worked and take them to another pasture down there on Merritt Road, South 152. And turn them out in new pasture. So I brought them in. Well, there was a gentleman in front of me. He had a enclosed trailer, so I couldn't see what was in there. Went in there and hung out for a little bit. And she's got a full crew working now. Summer help is here, and there's some really good kids in there working. One of them's going to OSU to vet school. And anyway, she's got a full crew working in there. And anyway. When she got done inside, they went back out, and there was a big old boy got out of this truck with that enclosed trailer. I'm not going to say names to protect the innocent. Anyway, I've seen him up down the road where my heifers are here east of Elk. Well, anyway, he gets out. Out comes the cow longhorn with wide rack, and out comes the younger longhorn heifer. They're going to work on it. And, of course, you don't put longhorns in head gates. Right. No possible way. You've got to get them to turn around, shut the gate on them, and hope you hold them. Anyway, got done. Dr. Mouse got through working on there. Anyway, he said something to Taylor, and anyway, I heard him say me. He said, "I heard you bad-mouthing these Longhorns the other day on the show," and I was like, "Oh boy, he's a big old boy." And Taylor walks out of the little gate and says, "Well, at least somebody's listening to your show." And I said, "Well, I was talking about the Longhorn down there at Austin, up there at the Texas Longhorn Stadium." Anyway, so he went on to inform me. He said, "You know, I got the land across from where your heifers are now." I said, "Okay." Mm-hmm. He said, "If these girls don't check out, you're going to look at them every day." So anyway, it was a pretty good story. One listener out there. So anyway, well, we'll be right back. Spencer Smith from 4AG is here, and that's capital A-G. And I knew I'd get you on that one. Capital, anyway.
Just took six weeks.
Yeah, it only took 6 weeks. But anyway, he's going to be in here to talk about, he's going to recap planter tips of the week. So,
yeah, and I brought a cool little tool that I want to talk to you about, too.
Oh, cool. It's going to be a great show today. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
XIT Auctions will be selling 400 acres of good Kiowa County land Thursday, June the 2nd in Hobart, Oklahoma. The auction will be conducted at the Women's Exhibit Building, selling 400 acres and 3 tracks. These are located 6 miles north of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma on County Road 2090. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440, or check us out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I think I got Spencer convinced to get some Longhorns.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Watch what you say.
I'm more of a farmer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of farmers out there that own Longhorns. This ain't the Lonesome Dove area. So anyway, let's check out the 89 degrees. Heat index is 90. Winds ain't changed much out of the south at 24 miles an hour. Is it warm out there?
It's warm. It's warming up.
Anyway, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. And I got one text in that says, "Man, don't think I'm innocent, Jimmy. And you have more than one listener." And I got a picture of the Texas Longhorn sitting there looking at me. And it's a cow, too. I had to look. Uh-oh.
Look what I got.
Oh, dude, I hit a home run. I'm so, you ought to see my hat collection. I'm getting downstairs.
But I finally got some more hats in last week, so.
Check this out. I can't change hats today. This is my hat's monster. Yeah. Anyway, check that out on Facebook if you're watching. And what do we got here? FurAg. That's capital H-E.com. Anyway.
So. I tell you what, hats are hard to come by right now.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting on my Today in Ag hat for almost a year now.
Yeah, they're... A year.
The boss is in here. You did an excellent job on. I've learned something about planters.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed coming in. It's been a lot of fun.
It's not as tough as you think.
No, it wasn't as bad as Spencer.
I've been trying to get him in here since day one, and I guess two reasons. There was two reasons I figured out. He was scared to come on the radio, and he thought I was going to charge him. Let's start from get-go. What do you got to say?
Well, so I've been talking to a few people, there's been some guys in hydro. They're done planting peanuts.
Yeah.
Started on cotton yesterday. The moisture is kind of starting to disappear on them, so some of that ground over there is irrigated. So there's definitely a lot of seeds starting to go in the ground.
You got a live picture on our text line.
I do. What I got?
Planter putting some peanuts in the ground.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
And I left Simon's field a while ago. He was over there. He started putting some cotton in the ground today.
Oh, really?
Yep, trying cool. some.
Have you?
No, I haven't yet. I'm going to kind of maybe see what happens tonight with the rain, and hopefully we'll get some
tonight.
It got
close last night.
It did.
The Elk City split.
It did. I know. So we'll see what happens. I know, like, some guys over in Eric, I think on some irrigated, they're going to try to Jake Dammer, I was talking to him. I think they're going to try to start tomorrow also, maybe.
Chad Ripodeau's putting his peanuts in the ground.
Yep. So there's a lot of guys that are starting to get rolling.
Yep.
But I'll just kind of do, like, a recap, I guess, of the last 6 weeks.
Let's go over the first 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll take a break and finish, top it all off.
That sounds good. So when hooking up to your planter, I'm 3-point hitch. I'm not pull type.
Okay.
And one thing that I didn't mention before is, like, my three point, I'm only attached on the bottom.
Bottom, yep. Not the top.
Not at the top. And I run a lift assist wheels in the back. So that allows me, which, you know, I have a lot. You've seen how many terraces we have, you know, around this area.
Oh, I thought your field was a terrace.
kind of feels like a motocross track sometimes. But, that with those lift assist wheels and not me not being pinned at the top hitch, that allows that planter to follow the contour of the ground as it's going over the terraces a lot better versus if it's pinned. As soon as that tractor goes up, it's going to kind of pick that planter up out of the ground a little bit at the bottom.
And then
of that
when
terrace.
It hits the other side of the terrace, it's going to put her in there deep.
Yeah, that's one thing I forgot to mention. I really like some guys don't like the lift assist wheels. I really like them just for our terrace ground. I think it's a must. I was against it at first, but after I ran them, I really liked it. Check your bar, make sure you're level. And I like, you know, to have a guy in the tractor running as slow as possible, dragging that planter through the field. And that way you can walk beside it and see if that bar looks level, if it's nose down, nose up. And you want to make sure that you're at least level to nose up.
Okay.
Because if you're nose down, you know, it's going to loft that seed out of that seed tube.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to cause, you know, inconsistent germination, seed heights. Depth. That's one of the main things as far as leveling and hooking up that I recommend. And also, you know, your parallel linkage arms, whenever I'm looking down that bar, I want to make sure those row units are traveling and that parallel linkage is parallel. You know, that way you can get all the travel up or down. That way when you're flat, you're just... It's just perfectly parallel.
And you guys watching on Facebook, he's got hand signals going here, so you should understand this if you can't read lips.
Oh, you mean that people can see me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. I'm going to miss you this summer.
I might try to come back in this fall after, or something, give you some updates.
Well, now you need to come back in after cotton planting.
Yeah.
And tell me how everything went.
Yep. Well, hopefully we get some moisture, too, to where.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But so. All right, once you get your bar all level, on that parallel linkage, you want to make sure that there's bushings on there from where that where your row unit's constantly going up and down, and you want to make sure that those bushings are not wore out. A good way to test that is put your planter in transport position, just lift it right off the ground, and you can grab that row unit and you can see if you can move it side to side, see if you have slop in the parallel arms.
Yep.
Companies make bushings aftermarket to slide in there and tighten that back up.
Okay.
Because if that's bouncing side to side, that's going to cause chatter in your seed tube, and that's going to cause, you know, this seed to catch up with this seed as it's going down the seed tube if that one's chattering or whatnot.
Yeah, because you'll have an area where you got double seed, and then you'll have a space.
Yeah, I have a space. I'd rather have a space than a double. Personally, let's see here. So week three.
Yep.
We talked about like seed meters, maintenance. You want to check your seals, the brushes in your seed meter. Depending on the planter, it may have a singulator. Those singulators kind of have like a piece of metal. And they're kind of spring. It doesn't have a spring, but they're kind of spring loaded to where they rub against that disc and flick off doubles.
Yep.
Or triples if seeds are stuck to that little hole in that disc.
Uh-huh.
You want to check the tent. You kind of want to check that, and you can hear like a little clicking noise when you turn that seed disc, when you turn that seed plate. You can hear a clicking noise, so you know it's singulating.
It's working right.
Yep. Yeah, like your vacuum, you know, a lot of planters, they have your seals around it for your vacuum. You want to check those. And also like your chains, if your chain drive on your planter, if your planter sets out, you know, all year round, you'd want to make sure those chains don't have any kinks in them so that they're when it hits that sprocket, it's freely turning to where it's not jumping and causing that seed, you know, causing that disc to... No, it's not just a consistent turn.
Yep.
That's one main thing that I like to check that. And then like your cable drives, make sure they're free. Make sure they're, you know, not rusted, maybe torn. You know how a cable will kind of get frayed.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Well, they got all kinds of good. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Got all kinds of stuff. Well, we're going to come back with, start off with tip. What was it? We're on day four. Weekend four. We're going to come back on there. I had a listener text in here. He says, I always listen to you and your guest. I have a friend who insists that it's not time to plant tomatoes. I've tried to tell her that in our drought to plant and water daily. Am I correct? I don't know. I haven't planted my tomatoes yet. So
I don't know.
Because, you know, this is above normal temperatures we got. Mm-hmm. And our moisture... I mean, we've had some rain here and there, but it's way behind.
Man, I'll tell you who can grow some tomatoes. You know Paul King?
Oh, yeah.
Paul King can grow some tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be listening right now.
Yeah, you never know, but I'm getting ready to because we're going to get back to normal temperatures this weekend in the 70s. That's normal for first part of May. And I know it heats up every now and then, but this 102-103 crap's got to go.
Yeah.
It's got to go. And according to the Gary McManus on the Mezzanet today, I seen him post on Facebook, he said, it's crazy. That's all he can say. This is the craziest weather. They've hit a lot of records this month, and we got some record temperatures coming.
Yep.
So, anyway, we'll be right back after this. I have Spencer Smith on here with 4 Ag on there with me, and he's recapping, going over the last 6 weeks. He'd come in every Tuesday to talk about planter tips, getting your planter ready. And it looks like Bill Dance, that's
yeah,
that was Bill Dance, because I noticed the red equipment, and he made sure that I could see that case on his hood. I ain't got no problem with your red stuff over there. It's just Anyway, I'll shut up. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, Bill Dance, I know you're listening because you're planting nuts over there in the Delhi area, wherever you're at. Anyway, Spencer was looking at this picture you sent, and that pressure looks a little high. there we go. That'll get him.
Anyway, golly, leave me out of this.
Why? He's a peanut farmer and you're a cotton farmer. So anyway, to answer your question on, he already sent a face. Anyway, I do, you don't need to offer an apology, but anyway, no, I haven't planted my tomatoes yet, and the reason why is the type of ground where I'm put those 75 tomato plants at with this heat and just getting them started, I need to be able to baby them, and if I put them across the river on the farm ground where the irrigation is, I'm not capable of getting over there real like I need to water them twice a day. So I'm leaving them at home. Hopefully they survive until this weekend when it's cool, and then I'll go get them planted. It's time to go now. I already got pepper plants, 18, 20 inches tall.
Wow.
And they should be blooming here pretty quick. Onions are doing okay, and I don't know. There's too much to do in the agricultural world, you know it?
Yeah.
I got cattle breeding. I got helping the landlord out with his cattle and helping... Well, Chad didn't help me to plant peanuts this year, and there's probably a reason because I don't use GPS and auto steer. He doesn't like my rolls.
Yeah.
So anyway, you've been coming in doing Spencer Smith's in here from 4 Ag. I almost said AG. Anyway, from 4 Ag, and he's went over the first 3 weeks he's came in, and he's got a lot of good stuff left to go here. What did we do the fourth week?
So fourth week, we talked about, like, your seed disc openers. You know, like, so when your disc openers start getting wore out, you can actually, instead of making a V trench, it'll make your trench, and it'll cause a W in the bottom.
Yep.
And it'll throw that seed to the left, to the right, or, you know, right on top.
Not where it is.
Yeah, not where you're intended it for it to be. And, also something I forgot to mention was the seed tube.
Yep.
That the seed is traveling down. You know, you want to make sure that that's not not messed up at the bottom, because if it's kind of cracked and it's ticked in, like on the inside of the seed tube, the seed could hit it, ricochet, you know, throw it. That's going to cause some inconsistent spacing also.
Okay.
So like on your seed disc openers, you know, you don't want them to measure any less than 14.5 inches. Just because, like, you won't, if they start measuring any smaller than that, when you start shimming those together, you take your two business cards and get your two points of contact, and you'll measure between those two business cards, and that, you know, you want those to be touching about an inch and a quarter to, say, let's just say an inch and a half to 2 inches, depending on the thickness of the blade, and that's what's going to form that perfect V trench and to eliminate you from having that W in the bottom.
Yep.
And, you know, even though, say, if you order brand new discs, I always recommend, like, if you got a metal welding table that's like or a concrete floor, you know, your concrete floor in your shop, lay them down, make sure they're not warped. You know, with the way manufacturing has been, you know, it could have, I would just check that quality of that disc before you even put it on your planter. Make sure the hub's in the center of that, make sure that it got stamped right into the middle of that disc. Just checking for quality control that could have got missed, you know, before you
ever
got it. Because
things do happen.
I mean,
it could be a brand new part and still be a piece of crap.
Yeah, I mean, so I recommend always checking that. And I would say, you know, some guys on those seed disc openers, depending on their conditions, I mean, I would think you could probably get 2 years, you know, and get by with 2 years if you're properly shimming and everything.
Depending on acreage you use also?
Acres, and if you're no-till, conventional till, how tight of ground it is and everything. So after you check your seed disc openers, I recommend, you know, checking your gauge wheel, like your gauge wheel arm.
Yep.
So on, like, say, red planters, green planters, they're slightly different on how they mount. And I mean, they still
that's
both
being politically
they still both wear out, you know. And I recommend, you know, guy, you know, check the slop in those, because those will start to wear out, you know. Make sure they're
on either one of them. Yeah.
And make, you know, properly greased. And, you know, like on some of those, they'll have like a rocker under there.
Yep.
To where that allows this one to go up and this one to go down.
Yep.
Those rockers wear out. You want to, you know, check those, check the bolts on those. And then also where that rocker hits that arm, it'll wear that arm out also. So if that arm starts to wear down an eighth of an inch, quarter inch, now you're changing your depth on your seed, on your planting.
Gotcha.
So you want to watch that also. There's several different factors that'll come in on that seed depth. So you want to make sure you're doing everything you can to where when you're setting that notch, you feel confident that you're going to be right there at, you know, say in cotton, like 3/4 of an inch or whatever your target depth is. Let's see. And then on the gauge wheels.
Yep.
You want to check, make sure your lip is in good shape. That's the part that's running right next to your seed disc, your V-trench, your opening disc. So if that has a notch in it, that notch is, every time that tire goes around, it's going to grab some dry soil and flick it right into your seed trench before your closing wheel ever closes.
I have one of those on my no-till drill that flicks stuff around.
So you got it, yeah.
I guess I ought to replace it.
So you need to get some, you know, make sure you get a good gauge wheel that has a good lip. It's going to spend, you know, concentric with that disc. And I like, you know, the way I set mine is I'll use the business card again, like with it down on the ground. I'll put the business card in between the tire and the disc and then tighten it down. And then most of the time, that's pretty accurate, and you can lift that gauge wheel up, and it'll just be right next to your disc.
Okay.
Because keep in mind, when that disc is on the ground, they're going to flex over a little bit.
Right.
So now, that way you're kind of figuring for that disc to flex over to your gauge wheel tire just a little bit, and that'll kind of, that way you're constantly just kind of staying in contact with that disc.
I got you.
And check those for, you know, puncture damage if you're no-till. Or whatever. So the last thing I had was the closing wheel bracket.
Yep.
So make sure you're there's those closing wheel brackets attached to the back of your unit, and it's just like the parallel linkage; those bushings wear out.
Okay.
So you want to check and make sure that that closing wheel bracket is trailing directly over your V trench.
Right over the seed.
Yep, right over the seed.
Yep.
And you know, and you can adjust that as needed also. And you know, like, and check your proper pressure on your closing wheel.
Yeah, we were doing that a while ago, or I was anyway. Wasn't I?
Yeah. You just want to make, you know, if you don't want to run too much pressure, just enough to where you can get good seed to soil contact, and to where you don't, that way you're not causing a compaction on that seed also.
Right.
And I think that was about it for all the planter tips, well, I think, and I kind of flew through those.
We've been doing a good job, you have for sure, on the tips. Is there's a I'll look at this movie video during our next break here. You've been doing a great job because nobody's been texting in for questions because they're listening, you know. And so that's a good thing because everybody's getting, because I've had some compliments outside the studio that
has been
very interesting listening to you. And he's got a cool tool in here, and we're going to take a break and come back and do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger, and then I'm going to have him talk about this cool tool that he's brought into the studio with him today, and then I'm going to watch this video that I got from Ripito to see if it's worthy of talking about on public air. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. I got Spencer Smith in here with 4AG talking about tips, and he's going to talk about this tool after the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast and tell you a little bit how to get a hold of him if you got any needs with Spencer. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report from Monday, May the 9th. 1,162 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 387 brought 211. 6 at 462 brought 195. 9 at 592 brought 174. 25 at 848 brought 145. 5 at 877 brought 145. 3 head of heifers at 235 brought 485. 10 at 563 brought 162. 4 at 661 brought 147. 17 at 750 brought 142.50. 16 at 918 brought 129. Butcher cows were 55 to 78.50. Butcher bulls were 50 to 107. Bred cows were 850 to 1250. Pairs brought 1300 to 1575. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey. 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, let let me update this weather because I didn't do it last time. Yep, 90 degrees, 92 is the heat index. Humidity's dropped down to 41%, so we lost almost 10% since the show started. South winds 24 miles an hour with gusts up to 34 now. Today, hot, 98, and it's going to get there, it looks like. Tonight, a 10% chance of thunderstorm, 68 degrees. Tomorrow, 93. Thursday is going to be hot. Friday is going to be sunny, not as hot, but still hot at 87. Check this out. Saturday, 71 degrees. That's when I'm planting tomatoes. And I picked a, I knew how to time all this stuff. Everybody's going, you ain't planted tomatoes yet? Come on. I made over 2,000 pounds of tomatoes last year, so I must have done something right.
Golly.
And so we got Chad Riptoe sent in a video. He's planting peanuts. I know he's not planting cotton right now, but he's planting peanuts, and he's got one of your closing wheels on the back.
He does, yeah. Chad's been, yeah, he's running our closing wheels.
But he didn't state whether he liked it or not. What's up, Chad? Do you like him? He looked like he was going a little fast. But anyway, check my phone. My wife says, check my phone. What did I do wrong? Now, anyway, you got this cool tool you brought in. What is it? Tell everybody what it is. Hold it up to that camera there to show everybody.
So it's a soil compaction probe, and you know, like for us, so we've been no-tilling for to be honest with you, I don't know how long we've been no-tilling. I mean, if somebody told me to go plow, I wouldn't know what I'm doing. So we've been no-tilling that long, I guess.
When you say plow, is that disc, mow board, or chisel?
Disc and mow board. I think those have been sitting in the tree row for quite some time.
Okay.
So like I said, we've been no-tilling. We got this tool. It's for soil compaction. And even though, you know, we change our path of travel, like with the sprayer, we'll alternate, we'll constantly change in our sprayer path through our field whenever we're driving, because the equipment's getting heavier and heavier, it seems like, as time goes on. And, you know, especially the sprayer, I mean, we're carrying 1,000 gallons. And now there's a new one coming out that carries 1,200.
So 1,000 gallons, what, 9,000 pounds or 8,500 pounds, just water.
Yeah, and then the round bale cotton stripper, you're at loaded, you're at probably 7 tons, six and a half, seven tons, something like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of weight traveling through that field, even though, you know, a lot of, you know, like the cotton stripper has duals on the front, you know, it's spreading out that pounds per
weight
inch.
Yeah. Per square inch.
Yeah. And so we got this soil compaction probe, and you know, which when we interseed our cover crop, you know, we do that first week of September. So our middles, that's bare ground where we plant, and we plant right back into the same row every year. So the other day, so right after we got a little bit of that rain and stuff, we went out there, and so this probe is 3 foot deep, and it's, or 3 foot long. It's probably, what is that, half inch diameter?
Yeah,
maybe not quite.
It's close.
So, and with no pressure hardly at all, right where we plant in the row, we could bottom it out.
Really?
Yep. And it's got a little gauge, like a pressure gauge here on top.
Shows you the pressure it takes to get it down.
It shows the pressure that you're pushing to get that.
So what if it's in the red?
Yeah, you might want to do something. you're probably hard panning.
Probably could get in the slight into the red just a little bit and still be okay.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of that's even in the middle where I'm driving,
right.
I have a lot of cover there, like existing straw from last year plus the cover crop that we just terminated.
Right.
That's laying on the ground now. There were certain spots out there. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's spots to where you can't go all the way.
Right.
But there are some spots to where even today, a while ago before I came here, I could push it all the way down.
Huh.
And I think that's just the craziest thing.
Oh, it definitely is, Chad.
No. It's good because he ran it.
Text messages messes the show
it
up.
Does. It does.
Yeah, because like when on my alfalfa field, you're going to run back and forth on it with a swather, a tractor with a rake, a tractor with a baler, and then going in there and hauling. And I tried to swath my field, move over, about trying to do some movement. Cutting hay, a little different than planting every time. Cutting hay so you didn't get, because you start getting these little indentions in your ground. And you don't see them.
Yep.
And, but you'll feel them if you'll turn around and swath the other way crossways. You'll feel them.
Absolutely.
So you know, but you get that compaction going. Because I got a 4960 John Deere tractor.
Okay.
And that's a big boy.
Yep.
And I got a baler hooked onto it. I look like you should go. Does, will that tractor pull that baler? Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
I had to idle her back a little bit on, knock the bells off. But you know, it makes sense what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a neat little tool to kind of check and just see where you're at. And, you know, like our end rows where we get a lot of traffic.
Yep.
You know, that's something that you're probably going to be getting pretty close to pushing the red where you're traveling all the time.
But do you guys plant a lot on those in-rows, or do you do your in-rows?
Yeah, we plant. Do. We plant all of our.
Yep, you do.
Yeah, we plant all of our in-rows, and you know, like which me, I'll plant my in-rows first, and then whenever, and then that way, when my planter comes into the in-row, it shuts the boxes off. It shuts each box off as I come into the in-row, like swath control.
Right.
So that way, you know, that way you're not over-planting into the in-row.
No, not wasting a lot of.
You're
stuff.
Not wasting a lot of seed. Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't lift up. I'm sowing wheat. I actually have to with the no-till.
Yeah.
But back in the day, we just kept going circles, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why people have got smarter, and you don't use near as much.
Cut your seed costs down, yeah.
Because I don't know what cotton seed. I guess it matters. It kind of depends on which cotton brand seed
does,
variety you
treatment,
got. But
treatment watt, treatment choice, and you know, cotton seed was really it really stayed about the same price this year as it did last year.
So I don't know if you heard me yesterday. I was reading that where I guess we're going to have about 150,000 more acres of cotton this year. Planted.
I believe it.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Will that affect anything with you guys?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. And I think a lot of that is too. You know, like say, you know, our rye crop. You know, it didn't do anything. So we terminated it. So now, you know, I'm gonna go cotton into where I was going to harvest my rye this year. So, and I think that has a lot to play with the reason why you're seeing it.
So you're going to have more cotton, I guess, this year than normal?
Yep.
I got you. And then I know there's going to be a lot of hay crops planted this summer, hoping for rains,
because
rains, I won't have time talking about it today, but, you know, hay supplies are going to be tight.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I think there might be some... like rye seed supplies might be tight. I think there's going to be several things that...
So you know friends. You have friends in low places, though, don't you?
I try.
I know one of them's listening. He's sending videos.
Yeah.
He's like, shut up, Clark. But anyway, so cotton prices, I know it's a futures deal right now, but $1.50 for cotton, what's causing that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't
talked to him. Is it good or bad? I mean, is it up high enough that it's going to cover any of your extra input costs this year?
You know, that's a good question. With the way the diesel's going, or chemical prices, which I do think some chemical prices have came down from what I haven't priced any chemical lately. I pre-bought a lot this year. So I don't really know what it's really at right. I don't know what I couldn't tell you what a gallon of Roundup is. I'm assuming $55 a gallon, something like that.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, that's getting pretty close to where I would say that's
where you need to be.
I would say that's a pretty good price. I mean, that's a great price.
Right. I mean, wheat is $13 when we don't have any.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me wonder. Well, you know, for cotton, and I don't know. This is just me talking, but if the new norm might be over a dollar. You know, that might be the new normal. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for commodities, but your input costs, the chemicals, the fertilizer, and the seed wheat, and like you said, your cotton seed wasn't much different, but next year could be
next
different.
Next year they will do a price increase, I think.
It's hard to see some of that stuff come back down to normal. I'm not saying they won't come back down. I'm talking about normal.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, we've seen it in, you know, like our plastics for our gauge wheel tires, our closing wheels, the bearings, flanges, bolts, you know, we've seen it all. We've seen all that on our end too, as far, you know, manufacturing our
coming
products.
Up.
Yeah, that it's, you know, and we're trying to do our part that we can to where we don't have to do a price increase to go to the, you know, to the farmer.
Well, we got a few minutes left. Tell all of our listeners exactly what you do besides farm.
So, we manufacture gauge wheels for air seeders and planters. They're mainly for no-till operations. If you're having stubble damage on your gauge wheel tires, if you're tired of replacing them. Right now, we're still running the original gauge wheel that was built back in 2012 with my dad, Jake Hunter, and Danny Davis.
Yep.
And it shows no signs of wearing out, you know, and we wanted to build a product that's going to last, and it, you know, and it gives, you know, some of these farms like in Arkansas, Missouri, you know, they're big farms, and for them, they may, some of those bigger farms, they're replacing their gauge wheel tires halfway through season.
Oh,
and now
that's a lot of planning.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of you know, that they're having to take their downtime, and like that guy that I was telling you about that farms like 48,000 acres of cotton in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So they're running, I think it was 6 12-row planters, and so halfway through every season, they would stop and change those gauge wheel tires. Whereas right now, they're going on their fourth year
of not changing
tires.
And that's tight ground over there. That's considered part of the Mississippi Delta.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're worried about being underwater, down there in that area. And then we manufacture our closing wheel assembly for planters also. You know, we designed that for like a shallower planted crop, like whether it be milo, soybeans, cotton, sugar beets, just, you know, like we don't want anything too aggressive to where it's going to try to flick that seed out of the trench, but we want it just aggressive enough to where you can get good seed to soil contact and get that germ sprouted as consistent as possible. And also, you know, leave the top of that trench, you know, like softly tilled to where you don't have to worry about it baking.
Right.
You know, that's a big thing out here. If we, you know, that it can bake hard as a rock. And it ain't getting through there.
It doesn't matter. Well, so the only way you get to sell that guy in Arkansas any new equipment parts is he buys new stuff?
Yeah. So we've actually had we've had some deer dealers that have actually traded for equipment with our products on them, and then those guys, they'll, you know, we've actually gained dealers by that route.
Oh, cool.
That I've sold to them, you know, and
right.
You know, that dealer will want to, they'll end up calling because they want it, that farmer wants to
that
put them back on there. Yeah.
Well, how do the music's getting ready to start playing. Time is up. I see on my cap, you can actually go to 4AGMFG, 4AGMFG.com.
Yep, absolutely. That's our website, or you can contact me at 580-419-8473.
Thank you, Spencer.
Thanks,
Jimmy. It's been
fun. It was good.
All right. Well, you guys have a great day. The music's playing. That means time's up. We ate the whole hour up. No more response from Bill Dance. Thanks, Spencer Smith, for coming in. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Cool country.
I love the nonstop music. I love your music because it's such a wide range.
This is KECO, Elk City.
Shared grief and anger on Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Phil and I have come to stand with you.
And to the families, we've come to grieve with you.
President Biden visiting Buffalo, New York, condemning hateful ideology after Saturday's supermarket massacre and vowing that white supremacy won't have the last word.
Hate and fear are being given too much oxygen by those who pretend to love America, but who don't understand America.
The 18-year-old white suspect